Welcome back, boys and girls. It's episode 115, your Hump Day podcast, 8-Bit Bourbon. With me, as always, Adam. And a special guest this week, we have a OG listener. His name's Anthony Rossi, and he's a local. Say hello, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good to be here.
Now let me ask you a question real quick. You know Eric that works with me?
Eric Straub?
Yeah, Eric Straub.
Obviously, yes. Yes, I do know him.
You just guessed that last name? That's so weird.
That's amazing.
I thought you were going to talk about Eric Feeling.
No. Well, he's heard Eric, I'm sure, on the podcast. But how do you know Eric?
We actually went to high school together.
No shit.
Oh, very cool.
Yep.
Yeah, he was saying, you got to meet my he's like, you got to meet my friend Anthony. He's, you know, into video games and stuff. And I was like, yeah, he's we talked to him all the time on Twitter. Not having any clue that you would ever listen.
Yeah, that was, I was in one of the Twitter chats about that. I'm like, oh, already in there, buddy.
Nice try, Eric.
Eric's good people.
Are you from around here originally?
Yes. I'm currently living in Albany. And I grew up around just outside of Schenectady.
Okay, very cool.
Schenectady.
Yeah. Schenectady, yep.
If anybody can spell that without spell check, I'll send them a free copy of a game.
Yo, seriously, though. Like, that is one of my favorite things when you get the telemarketers from down south. It's like, hi, is your name Anthony from and it's just, yeah, Schenectady. Yes, yes, it's me.
What a fucking terrible word.
Yeah, so I figured before we get into too much news, we should ask a little bit about Anthony. So, because we don't know too much. What gaming have you historically done? Are you a Nintendo guy? Are you a computer guy? What's your thing?
I've been gaming for quite a long time. Started off on the Nintendo. It was always the Nintendo, Super Nintendo. Kind of wavered around a little bit when it moved into like the 16-bit era or just after that. So kind of dabbled with the PlayStation a little bit because, you know, some friends of mine had PlayStation in college. Mm-hmm. But I ultimately settled on the Xbox, and I've been Xbox since the original. I mean, can't call it Xbox One, but the original Xbox, the 360, and I'm gaming on the Xbox One right now.
And what games do you play?
Right now, it's mostly, I typically stick with the epic RPGs for the most part. That's what I've always done, like played all the Final Fantasies. I dipped into the first-person shooters a little bit with Halo for the most part. Well, that and obviously GoldenEye back in the day. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you know, the first-person shooters, I'll play Borderlands a lot. I've been playing Destiny, but Destiny was great, but you really have to have friends to play with to really enjoy and get any enjoyment out of it. Like, if you've got a whole crew that you play with regularly, or you're open to just playing with new people all the time, it's a great game. But I'm more of like the solo RPG type of guy, so it's kind of hit or miss for me. I just finished the main campaign of Fallout 4, actually, earlier this week. Good Lord, I have 6 days, 10-ish hours total into the game. It's just...
Adam, is that more or less than you?
Oh, yeah, he blew past me. I think I stopped playing that at like 68 hours.
What about The Witcher, though?
Oh, The Witcher? No, I got you beat. I have like half of that in the first Witcher expansion.
Jesus.
And that the expansion is like 20 hours. I just fucking dick around.
Unfortunately, I never got into The Witcher. I would probably love it, but it's just, you know, you only have so many hours in the day. You know, I played through the whole Assassin's Creed series. I played through the Dragon Age and Mass Effect series. So it's a lot of the single player RPGs. I mean, you can only handle so many of those at one time until you need, you know, some type of other human interaction on occasion.
Yeah, it's we're saying too, like, it's the year of the massively multiplayer game. So I think by the time Fallout came out, people were just like, Jesus, because yeah, The Witcher, Metal Gear Solid 5, and all those other games. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think that's what happened to me with Fallout. Fallout series, like, top 5 series, like, for me all time, and I just, after like 60 hours of that game, I did not want to play that game anymore. And it wasn't, Fallout 4. I just stopped playing.
Fallout 4.
I haven't played it in months. I just stopped. And then Just Cause, I love the Just Cause series. I played like 3 hours of that game, and I was like, I just don't want to do this. Can't do it.
Yeah, that's definitely one you'll pick back up. Fallout, maybe not, because yeah, those are harder to like get back into.
I just never thought I would burn out on the open world RPG. I really did. There was a lot of them last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you play Witcher for 300 hours, it's next kind of stuff. You know, yeah. Really, though, you know, it's like, shit, I just want to play like something fast-paced after that.
Well, yeah, I've actually picked Destiny back up, you know, after not playing it for a few months, because like I was joking around with my brother saying it's like the perfect palate cleanser for me as far as just like I've been so deep in this one world for so long. I need to do something else. I need to just relax, just kind of run around and shoot some other guys in the head for a little bit. And, you know, I'll be good. I'll be good for the next game that comes out.
Did you play the Division beta at all?
No, I didn't.
I think you would like it because
surprising.
Like everything you just said is the reason why I like the Division so much, because I just have fun with my friends and just dig off.
Yeah.
It's relaxing.
Yeah, it has looked for the past 4 years to be fantastic. It's just, you know, I was like, I need to finish Fallout type of thing. Like I was playing it for way too long. I wanted to get some more blog posts out for that. And like, I need to stop messing around with the stupid settlements. I need to stop messing around with these, you know, radiant side quests that just never, ever, 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 ever end. And just like pound this out, bang it out, and complete the game finally.
Well, it's funny because Adam's talking about The Division and like you're talking about Destiny, and I think those are very similar games. It's the first person and third person.
They are very similar, yeah.
And I can't believe that Adam, we talked about this a little bit last week, like not The Division, that as well, but Destiny is so like right up Adam's alley because it really is that mix of open world, kind of like almost MMO-ish feel to it, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's a shooter, so you can, I like Destiny because you can digest it in smaller chunks, where like if you play Fallout or The Witcher, don't you feel like you have to play for an hour to get anything out of it, you know, like at least,
especially in Fallout, because there's so much to it. I mean, there's like collecting items, bringing items back, exploring, trying to do a little like side quest. You get sidetracked by another like little fucking blip on the map.
Even the side quest, like take an hour just to do.
Like I don't get stressed out like in anything in life. Fallout 4 stressed me the fuck out. Like, when I started failing, like, settlement quests all the fucking time because I just had a mad list of objectives to do, I was like, I just don't. I've never failed, a Fallout quest, and I was failing them all the time in Fallout 4 because guy would not leave me alone. Every time I'd go back to, the main town?
Sanctuary, talking to Preston Guardian.
Every time I go to Sanctuary, he would hunt me the fuck down and tell me to go check out this other settlement.
I feel like the Giant Bomb podcast, they just said, like, I can't remember who it was, but they're just like, I just stopped caring about when they said that. But I know what you're saying.
You really have to accept it.
There's
and
so
say,
many of them. Yeah. And it's good. Like, for a while, it's good because it opens you up to the world. Like, it shows, like, places you can walk to. And when, like, if you're walking to that place, you're going to find 50 other places that could be cool, you know? So they are worth it for a while, but like after like the 100th one, you're like, fuck this. Like, I'm not going to spend like 20 hours gathering resources so I can build a fucking fence for these people. It's just fuck it. It's like, it's too much. Too much for me. I'll go back though. I will. I smartly bought the season pass for $30 before they raised it up to 50 to get all the DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was a weird thing they did, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into some news, but real quick, Anthony, if the answer is Fallout, then give me your second best. But what was your favorite game of 2015?
I really enjoyed Dragon Age.
Oh, okay. Jesus Christ. You need to play The Witcher, so you hate Dragon Age.
If your favorite game is Dragon Age, then I haven't played either a lot, but it just seems like The Witcher would, again, be the obvious choice.
And I totally believe that. It's just that it's one of those things where you can only play so many games in your life. I actually downloaded Witcher 2, was free on Xbox Live for a while. a couple weeks back. So I downloaded Witcher 2 so I can get a little jump start if I do end up picking up Witcher 3. But
just don't do.
Yeah, they say if you play Witcher 3, don't go back to Witcher 2.
Just don't do what I did, which was I bought BioShock because I wanted to play BioShock Infinite. And I beat, like, you know, obviously BioShock Infinite was already out. And I beat BioShock and I just went, I'm good. And I was like, I wish I played BioShock Infinite instead, you know, but I didn't want to play them back to back because it was like, you know, it's a 20 hour game or something.
Yeah. Before we move on, I don't mean to insult Dragon Age Inquisition too much because I really do like the game. I think that like the first like 40, 50 hours of that game was awesome. But I hate the inventory system of that game so fucking much. It just made
That was terrible.
It just made me stop playing. Like I was one of the people like on console that loved Dragon Age 2. I thought that game was fucking amazing. All the PC gamers hated it because they changed like the combat style. And in Inquisition, they brought back both styles so you could pick and choose what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But man, the inventory system was fucking terrible in Inquisition. And I just could not.
The inventory system had a learning curve
in that game, and I was like, I'm done. I can't do this shit. Like when you can't tell when you pick up an item if it's better than the item that your main character's wearing or the side characters are wearing, then I was like, I'm not gonna put something on, like look at the stats, take it off, put something else on. It was like, fuck this.
All of those games have bad inventories. Like I shouldn't say bad. It's a hard problem to solve, but they don't have inventory systems that are like really great, but the problem with Dragon Age seemed to be because like it's bad, and like The Witcher inventory I don't think is that great, but it works because there's only one of you. As soon as you have three characters in your party, it's just a shit show.
That's the thing.
You
like The Witcher wasn't that great, but you know it was fine because exactly what you said, you had one person.
It didn't get in your way. Yeah, you know, it's fine.
Like all I need is I want to know if the stats are better, and then let me make my decision whether like the buffs or whatever other attributes that equipment has is worth like the loss of like attack or defense, you know. But Dragon Age had none of that. It was like this thing's great, but who knows what you're wearing right now? And it pissed me off.
There was a compare feature in it.
Oh, was there?
There absolutely was a compare. Yeah.
Oh, I must have missed it for 80 hours.
Yeah, there's definitely a compare feature in there.
Also, my guy started like growing like horns and shit, and he got weird, and he kind of sounded like Frasier, and that was starting to bother me.
You got to pick a voice. That's your fault. Yeah.
He sounded like Frasier.
That game though, I only played it for like it was an EA Access game, so I just downloaded it, played it for a couple hours. That game is beautiful. I love the graphics.
It's a cool game. I mean, like I said, I played 80 hours of it. I just stopped. I was like, I'm done. Enough.
That's why you can't go with like the I'm going to open world the shit out of this game. Like sometimes you just need to beat the game and call it a day. You know, like that works for some games and it doesn't work for like Metal Gear Solid 5. That does not work for.
I've been trying to get better at that stuff
because it's totally different. But you know what I mean.
I need a new big game. I hope the Division. Like I'm not going to dick around that much. I'm going to play through the story because it's nice because it's like Destiny. It's like. You get to like level 20, I think it's like 28 or something or 30, and then you're done. You know, that's the max.
When are you going to stop fucking around and just get Destiny? You're going to love it.
Don't say that because I almost bought Taken King like three times.
I can't believe that you have it because the cool part about
it
is.
I haven't done it because of The Division. If The Division wasn't coming out, I would have bought it.
Yeah. Well, because the cool part about Destiny
Corey,
is.
I know Corey is always looking for people to play, and he's done every single character max level.
Yeah, because what I was going to say was is that you can play like Destiny, like as Anthony was saying, it's definitely not as fun without a party, but you can log on and play for a little while and have fun by yourself and kind of like build up while you're not playing with people. And then it's also got multiplayer, which is, well, not co-op, but competitive multiplayer, which has got better and better. I think it's actually pretty fun now. I've thought about getting back into it because I own the base package, but it's not a money thing. It's just, will I actually play it?
Yeah. I would be happy if I had like a group of four people that would play Diablo 3. Like it's still like probably third all-time favorite game ever. Like I maxed out a character on my Xbox One in like a weekend. I put like fucking 50 hours in a weekend on that game. I love the shit.
Yeah, I maxed out my maxed out my PS4 character, but then it's like the problem with Diablo is once you get to max level, it's really not fun. I don't think unless you
For me, it is like I just keep going. Like I just keep chugging ahead. Like fire up the difficulty level and keep going. Like, I love
it. Yeah, see, for me, once I get to max level, that's when, like, which is a shitload of gameplay. But once I get to max level in Diablo, I'm like, eh, I want to do this with a party, or I'm good. They did add a lot of new content, though. Like, when the first one came out, you were just literally doing the same thing over and over, which was fun with a party. Oh, yeah. But the new one, like, there is a lot of stuff to do. I was just like, eh, I don't really care if I get another piece of gear. I don't know.
And when it first came out, it was impossibly hard. It was fucking unbelievable hard. Like, nowadays, like, where I'm at in the Xbox One, I never would have been able to get to by myself. Never.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Xbox, you want to talk a little bit about Xbox Live and
denial of service attacks? So last week, I shit all over Xbox Live for being down or being shitty for, like, the last, like, I don't know, almost 2 weeks. And as soon as the podcast came out, apparently there were reports coming. I don't think Microsoft ever really confirmed it, but they never really denied it. So it's a weird thing. Apparently there was some group of douchebags doing the, how do you pronounce it? Is it? I know it's denial of service, but what's the?
I think people say it like DDoS.
Okay, yeah. So they're doing the denial of service attacks on Microsoft for like 2 weeks, which is crazy to do.
Yeah.
Like, for that long.
Well, why?
I don't know.
Why?
Just to be fucking douchebags.
Yeah. So, was this during the Division beta?
Yes. It was. It was during everything. Because, like, it was for, like, 2 weeks. Like, I could not keep people in my party. I was having trouble, like, connecting on any kind of online service at all.
Yeah, like, dude, my shit was so fucked up. You kept seeing me offline, and then I was trying to play Rocket League with Jay the other night. He still couldn't, so I went and, like, appeared offline and online. You can see me now, right?
I have no idea.
Party system has been so fucked. I couldn't join parties.
Like, and I was, I think last week, unless I didn't bring it up, but I was trying to bash the preview program because I was like, I think I'm going to get out of it, even though I love, like, getting this stuff first, because I didn't know if it was me being, like, running a different OS than everybody else, that it was just fucking my Xbox up. But it was bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I couldn't do anything with anybody. There was times where I had to sign in, sign out like 10 times just to get my friends list to show up. I had to redo all my favorites multiple times.
I have to say, though, yours was the worst. So I'm still not convinced. But
there were other people that were saying the same thing as I was.
Yeah, I had problems, but, like, I could still see my friends list most of the time. And
I couldn't.
I never had anything like that.
I couldn't get, like, party invites. I couldn't do shit.
I told you, when I got my new Xbox, I just went, eh. I'm good, because you were having such problems with yours at the time. I was like, hey, I'm not going to turn that on again.
But I was in the preview program as well, but I never, when I got my new Xbox, I never re-signed up for it either, and I really didn't have any issues. But then again, I was also playing Fallout 4 the entire time, so I wasn't really in any party chats or party games.
Right. We'll get to it, but I think you're going to want this March update. I think that's coming out today, and we'll have it by the time you guys hear this podcast. I think you're going to want to get back into it. Some of the features are pretty nice. But this, the DDoS attacks, they just brought up this question in my head. I want to ask you guys, because, like, is always online a good feature that we have? Because I thought it was great. You know, like, I love buying digital games. I love always being connected to my friends, always being connected to my games, my services. Everything was there. It was great. But when shit goes bad, I couldn't watch Netflix because my Xbox kept asking me for my Netflix disc, which makes no sense. My Xbox was utterly useless because these douchebags were attacking Xbox Live.
Yeah,
Xbox Live wasn't technically down, but my Xbox was useless. I couldn't do anything.
So Anthony's friend Eric, the company that we work at, we make apps that are over the top streaming apps, video apps. And I was getting that. I was trying to test something at work and I was getting that same error message. And I was like, there is no fucking disc for this app. I was getting so mad. And also I just want to say, yes, DDoS attacks are douchey. I think people plan them at times that there's going to be high traffic. That's why they had all the holiday DDoS attacks, because it's easy to say we took down Xbox Live and PSN when they might not have done anything. It might just be the natural influx of users that took it down. And even if they did do something, it's a lot easier when there's more people. But I was also going to say, let's not make Microsoft totally blameless either. It's a hard problem, but you should have some safeguards against it as well, you know. So it's a little bit of,
like, I don't know much about what the DDoS attack is, but it's just a flood of people to their servers, right? like fake.
It's just
people.
A flood of fake requests, yeah. Basically, that they have to respond
and
to.
Tell me, you can't. There's like what, probably over 50 million Xbox Live users. You're not prepared for that shit.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like okay on the holidays, I get it, but in mid-March or you know mid-February, I feel like they should be able to
it's
handle
weird,
it.
Weird, yeah.
And what do I know?
One little funny thing is Major Nelson. He was on a podcast and he was asked about it. Like he was asked, like, what does Microsoft do about this? Like, do they try to like pursue these people like criminally? And he's like, the hardest part about that is you'll have 50 groups that have nothing to do with it claim responsibility for it. So who do you prosecute? Yeah. It's just a waste of time.
It's almost better not to talk about them.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost the better thing.
And it's almost like maybe that's what Microsoft did, but also they didn't talk to their community. Like I had no idea. Yeah. Like if they would have said we're being attacked, you know, like fuck, that sucks. But I feel like I wouldn't blame Microsoft for it. Like I'd be pissed that I can't do anything with my Xbox. It's just a brick.
Well, I mean, that's another problem though. It's like, okay, I still think so. There's some blame on Microsoft for allowing a DDoS attack to take them down. That's on them too. But my problem is there's got to be a way to separate services in a better way where if they DDoS Xbox Live, you should be able to use your apps. Yeah. I don't know what the infrastructure is to make that happen, but you know what I mean? Like that's a major problem. And it's really not that big of a deal to me just because I've got a smart TV and a PlayStation 4 and fucking, you know, it's like I can get Netflix on any of those. But, you know, if that's your main set-top box, that's frustrating as a motherfucker.
Yeah, it is.
I think it was the night before we recorded the last podcast, Jay kept sending me invites to play Rocket League, and like Rocket League would open and I couldn't do anything. It just wouldn't do anything. And
yeah,
I couldn't
join a party.
And then eventually it would say, please insert the Rocket League disc, which doesn't exist. And I couldn't send Jay a message back to like tell him that I couldn't come. I couldn't join the party to tell him I couldn't come. Yeah, it was a fucking nightmare. It's like, I feel like if they're going to be like susceptible to these attacks, have like some kind of safeguard, maybe like put like our Xbox in like a safe mode, like that, like block or hide these like core features from everything else. Let me at least be able to connect to my games online. Like they're so concerned with like the store, like you could still use a store during that, but who the hell cares about the store when you can't play a game?
Yeah.
Like, let me open my games while it still says I'm connected alive. I think that should be a top priority if these systems always have to be online to be used. Let me open my games.
Yeah.
If I can't open my games, what's my system? It's weird. Don't say always online if I can't connect to my games.
Yeah, that's the biggest downside to always online is if you can't play your games offline, that's a shit show.
Well, you could play them offline, but...
I was going to say, this is a problem that PC has as well, you know, if you download certain Steam games. But it's also, it's a hard problem to solve because if you ever look up like a crack game or how to, you know, steal a game, it's always like, turn your internet off and do this hack. So for them, you know, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. But yeah, it's really brutal when like, yeah, separate those servers out somehow so I can just play my, like I've never had this problem, but I've heard people having problems where they can't play a single player game, you know, like frequently when the services are down, and that's just bullshit. Like if you couldn't play Far Cry, that would be ridiculous.
Couldn't do anything.
Fallout, but it was the same thing.
Everything I did, it asked me for a disc. Everything.
Yeah.
I opened up the Xbox preview member thing because I was going to delete it. And asked me for the disc for it.
Yeah.
It's like that. Yeah, that's just the thing I downloaded from the store or I got a link from Microsoft. There's no disc.
Well, on some positive things that Microsoft is doing, Anthony, have you seen the new HoloLens demo that happened today or yesterday or something?
I tried looking around for it when you guys sent me the show notes. I couldn't find an actual video for it, but I saw some references. What was that? A TED Talk? Was it?
I'm not sure what the source was.
Was
I just
it
found
DICE? Did they do this at DICE?
Well, okay, hold on. Let me rephrase this question. What video did you see? Because I think
I saw the one with the guy shooting the robots that came out of the wall.
I saw the one with the Mini Conker.
Okay, yeah, I tried to watch that one, and the one I saw was the guy shooting. They had the special camera which they used at E3 when people were playing Minecraft with it. But this guy pretty much raises up his hand. He has some kind of weird controller. It almost looked like a PlayStation Move controller in his hand. And around his hand formed like this virtual like glove. like okay. gun thing.
And yeah, that's the video that I saw. I think that was from like last year, though.
Was it last year?
I think I've seen that before.
Okay. Well, it was fucking awesome. Either way, it was fucking cool.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was absolutely wonderful.
It was probably much cooler than the one that I saw, because the one I saw was a baby conker, which is like, okay, great. Take all of the cursing and R-rated stuff out of conker.
Oh, he's like small, but
he was a man. He was married.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Anyway, squirrel years are different than ours.
Actually, we should probably spend the rest of this podcast on Conker and his age. Because now that I'm thinking about it, I'm confused. This was like Baby Conker to make a cutesy version, which is very bizarre. But it was like a platformer that you play in your living room, and it can recognize a couch versus a countertop versus a wall, and like. There was like coins. They were running up the walls, fighting monsters. When he would walk to the edge of a cliff, he would like do like the whoa thing. And if he jumped on a couch, he would bounce. It was kind of cool, proof of concept thing. But
that's so freaking cool. My inner nerd is just like joyful right now.
And I think obviously what we're all looking for is what will that look like when developers get their hands on it to do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not the perfectly crafted demos. But yeah, what do you guys think about HoloLens?
I'm it's not because I'm an Xbox fanboy, but I'm more into AR than I am VR. Like I want shit busting through my walls, me having like a Tony Stark like fucking hand and shooting the shit out of them rather than me sitting in a chair spinning my head. That's my opinion.
What do you think, Anthony?
I think they're both fantastic. But at the consumer level, I mean, how much is the HoloLens going to go for?
It's $3,000.
Because
it's $3,000 for the developer edition.
Oh, for the dev edition. But that's different. I mean, Dev 360 is like $1,300.
So. Okay. It would be awesome. I'm trying to think like where I do my gaming. Like, there's like stuff all over the place. So, like, my little fictional level will be a little chaotic. Again, we're talking about with the demo, I'm sure that they had, you know, nice clean surfaces for the countertops or nice clean surfaces for their walls and their couch. They don't have, you know, their crap all over their coffee table. They don't have, like, crap hanging from walls. They have
retriever running through.
Yeah. So that's how I'm kind of wary of how it's going to actually work. You know, in practical application.
Yeah, but with the HoloLens, you can still see everything. You still see the crap that's not left on your table.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think what Anthony's saying is that the software won't be able to react as well to, like, the non-clean surfaces.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to.
Yeah.
Because when you have the nice, you said Conker kind of, like, ran across the table and did the whole whoa thing when he came to the edge. I mean, that's with a nice, clean, flat surface.
Yeah, and to your point, everything was clean. There was nothing on the table. There's nothing on the couches. There's nothing on the walls, actually.
I'm sitting at my computer desk right now in the office, and I got, you know, my coffee mug over here, control over here. The canned air thing, for whatever reason, is out. You know, it's got crap all over the place. Yeah. So, you know, how is the system going to react to that much, you know, clutter, basically?
Yeah. My thought, basically, is I think they're both very cool. I think at some point, not in the near future, but in the far future, they'll be the same thing, because all you have to do for AR to be VR is black out the screen. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. Mm-hmm.
But that's way out. I think if I had to guess, just because of the things that you're saying, I think the AR is really cool, but I think it's way harder to do in games. I think VR will be more game focused, and I think AR will be more like connected home focused, medical focused stuff like that.
You know, I think it has a ton of like industrial purpose, because I'm envisioning some type of like executive meeting type thing, and they're going over whatever mechanical design or architectural design, and you have like a giant like QR code or something to orient where the concept building will be in the middle of a conference table, and you get the executive.
To your exact point, have you seen the Kingsman?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember the scene when they all come together? They all live in different parts of the world. They put on these glasses, which are basically HoloLenses. They sit at the table. Yes. As soon as he puts the glasses on, he sees the 12 people around the table, and they're all sitting there having a bourbon to celebrate this guy dying, and it's so frigging cool. And then a guy comes in and gives him a mission briefing, but it's on a photo, like an old school painting on the wall. But when he puts the glasses on, it's like this crazy screen that he can see shit like that. That is definitely cool uses of that technology.
That is going to be, yeah.
And that's so, totally realistic. Like, that's totally believable. You know, it's not.
Yeah,
like
that can actually happen. I've seen a few previews and demos of the HoloLens in the past couple of years. And this other type of augmented reality type stuff. I think there's a few AR games for the Nintendo DS or the 3DS or one of the. I haven't played.
There were.
Okay. Yeah. And that's like if you put. Right. I've seen a few of those. Like, you have a certain card. Or, yeah, basically a card that's got some type of, like, visual code on it. I don't know if it's a QR code per se, but something similar to that. And as you hold that card or place it on the table and you view that card through your phone, like, an actual object will be there. And you can, like, as you move the card around, the actual object will stay, like, on the surface of that card. So you can spin the card and you, in turn, spin whatever that object is.
No, I was going to say they stole me and Adam's idea that we had a long time ago of having Magic the Gathering basically through the Kinect with like the fighting pieces from like Star Wars and the chessboard. Remember when we talked about that? That was like a year and a half ago probably. But
we also had the NFC Hearthstone.
NFC Magic or Hearthstone, yeah, same thing.
You just buy your cards and you scan them in, you play with them.
Yeah, there you go. That's actually another great use, though. Like you said, like Magic the Gathering with HoloLens, you have like the guys like that is totally doable, like sooner than later. And that would be I would buy HoloLens.
Can you imagine if we were sitting across from each other, both wearing HoloLens? I put down a card and it attacks your card and you can see it.
Yeah, it would be amazing.
It'd be fucking sweet.
It'd be literally like the Star Wars scene with the chess, the original Star Wars and the chess pieces and the Millennium Falcon.
This has to happen. This has to, because I have a few friends who we still occasionally do a little bit of Magic, and I'm just imagining like throwing down a card and like there's my, you know, craw worm,
and obviously
like on the table.
Obviously, we'd mod it, so it was just a naked chick running over to the big black dildo, smashing somebody in the face.
Keeping it classy.
Obviously.
But someone will make that happen.
I love that.
I love how anytime there's an augmented reality or virtual reality conversation, it's always like, well, you could use it for porn.
I would definitely.
Of course they do.
That'd be the always first thing I use it for.
Yeah, I think one of the, like a few months ago, there was some big announcement, and the name of it is escaping me right now, but they were talking about the, I think it was the Morpheus, and like Pornhub like came out immediately. It was like, yeah, we're already working on a virtual reality experience for you. I'm like, geez, that didn't take long.
I actually remember that. Yeah. That's, you know, listen, VR is infancy. They got to sell units, baby.
Well, yeah, they'll sell units. And actually to kind of their defense, you know, they're going to be able to crank out a bunch of videos in rapid succession.
I thought you were going to say that was a pun. I thought you were going to say they're going to be able to crank out a bunch of accessories.
Hey, you know what? See what happens. Well, but
I'm going to get some tactile feedback.
Yeah, that's right. But they're going to be able to produce a whole bunch of content in rapid succession. They'll end up being the ones who work out the nuances of it.
They're going to work it out.
Yeah, right.
And I had to work so hard not to work any unintentional double entendre into that.
That's really hard.
I think
we're all kind of on the same page. The 12 pack that I bought yesterday, I just got a beer, and it's like it's alarmingly low on beers. I don't know if somebody came in and stole some or if I drank that many.
I drank a bottle of bourbon between today and tomorrow, or yesterday.
Oh, Jesus. Here comes Adam's drunkenness the next 26 minutes.
I think we're good.
Didn't we decide like 6 months ago that you'd stop drinking before the podcast, but then you stopped drinking completely. Yeah. Now you're trying to sneak it back in.
Only when we record.
That's the problem. That's the only time you're not.
Me and you both know that wasn't the problem.
Shit. Yeah. I think VR versus AR, I'm excited. Virtual, and they are very different, because augmented reality is like, I love the idea this isn't really realistic until they can really improve on them. But, you know, they were showing like you could have a 100-inch screen, flat screen on your wall where you walk in and watch TV there. And it's or like, you know, something in the kitchen, whatever. Whereas virtual reality is different in that like you are transported to another world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're supposed to, it tricks you into believing that you're looking around as a body that's in this world. So they are different technologies as far as that goes.
My thing with AR is just, it feels like it's more of like pick up and go, and VR feels more of like a hassle to set up. Like if like you, I feel like from everything we've seen in the HoloLens things or the demos, there's nothing hanging from that headset. There's nothing. I mean, there's no cords. It seems like
you know you got a point with that.
You seem like you can go to any
room.
We'll
see if that
and do,
is
yeah,
production
yeah,
though.
This is and Microsoft's great at these demos. First time I ever saw a Kinect demo, there was like a skateboarding game where a kid held up his skateboard and took a picture of the skateboard he was using and instantly threw it into the game and he was able to use his own skateboard.
Don't forget Peter Molyneux handing the note to the kid.
And I remember that.
I'm just thinking like the HoloLens. So one of the first HoloLens demos we saw was a guy walking to his kitchen, putting on his HoloLens and being able to watch like the TV that he was missing in the living room on a wall as he was cooking dinner and stuff. And virtual reality seems cool, but it seems like such a fucking hassle. It really does. But, like right now, like there's wires.
Yeah. Like, but I guess that's the difference.
Wires.
Is that virtual reality is literally like a replacement for your television watching.
Yeah,
so you're going
like,
to sit in a chair. So like it's a different use case. You know what I mean? Like you're not walking around while you're playing video games.
Yeah.
So.
And like the thing is like I haven't used virtual reality, but right now, like I don't want virtual reality to replace what I already have. And with HoloLens, I see it as a different experience that, like, I might enjoy.
Yeah,
like I don't want to put down the controller in the big screen TV quite.
Yeah,
yet.
No,
I'm not there
until VR completely nails the controls, which I think they're the longest way off of all the things. They're not going to replace.
And I brought this up before.
It's a different experience.
How are we going to give up? We're so used to right stick controlling the camera. How are we supposed to give that up when we're supposed to use our head? You know, it's going to be weird, right?
Yeah, it'll be a weird transition.
It's really weird, using your right thumb to control the camera.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, I think that, you cannot make every game that's non-VR into a VR game. That's just never going to happen. You have to make VR games, even if they do nail the controls. But if you imagine, there are even some demos of this already where you have a fake gun and you point that. And you move your head around.
Yeah,
that takes no getting used to. You know what I mean? That's just natural life, and like that's what they need to nail is like this just feels like it would be what I'm doing. You know, that's why it was so genius. They had that game where like you sit in the wheelchair and the guy pushes you and you shoot shit. Like that's not that great of a game because it's like a on rails game, but like you probably feel like you're in that world.
Is it called Murder Ball?
Exactly.
Is that what their basketball league's called? Murder Ball. It's the fucking craziest thing ever. Yeah.
I think. If that's not the trampoline
one,
right?
I'm pretty sure it is. Like, the handicapped basketball is murder ball.
Yeah.
They just ram each other with, like, Mad Max-looking wheelchairs.
Yeah, I don't even know if they exist anymore. That was, like, 10 years ago. I remember that, though.
It was in Friday Night Lights. The guy tried out for the team. Didn't quite make it.
Spoilers. Jesus Christ.
Sorry. God damn.
So obviously, he gets paralyzed. What the fuck?
Now I'm not going to watch it. Thanks. Jeez.
all right. Well, I think that's a good VR AR conversation. There's so much. It's so interesting because there's so much more to talk about coming. You know.
Yeah, and we all need to get our hands on it.
It's
tough to talk about we've never had a chance to do it.
But I think to Andy's point, I mean, there's going to be like a direct application for the VR games. Like, if you're going to make a VR game, you're going to have to make a specifically VR game. Like I've seen a few things, but. Like certain games where you have the like Gears of War, where you're ducking behind cover, third person camera angles. You know, you can't do that in VR.
Yeah, totally. You know? You're not going to have these games that are like also has VR features because those are going to blow. You want games that are Morpheus exclusive or whatever VR exclusive.
But I'm just afraid of like just getting the on rail shooter for VR. I feel like
I think that's
good. That's what happened with like the Wii or the Wii. And then when the PlayStation Move came out, it was just on-rail shooters. And the Until Dawn game that they have for PlayStation VR is an on-rail shooter. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, come on. You got to do something more than that. We've all seen those.
Two thoughts on that. I think number one, the good news is that there's a lot more money being put into VR than those things. So, and a lot more developers trying to solve the problems. But I do think that, as I've said on the podcast for a long time, like, I'm really excited about VR, AR, whatever, but I'm really excited for like generation two, because I think you're going to see a lot of that in generation one while they're trying to figure out these problems.
Oh yeah. They're going to be fumbling around all over the place trying to get the whole system just to work, let alone work properly, just to get it to work and figure out what the UI is going to be. Just something solid to work with.
Yeah. But it's okay to make a game. Like, how sick would it be to have a game like a Telltale game, very slow paced, story based, that you really feel like you're in the world? You know, I think that's what people need to remember. Like, it's okay to make that. You don't have to make Halo. You know what I'm saying? Like, make it around the technology. And like, as we figure out tools and controls, and, you know, God forbid I ever have one of those 360 treadmills where I'm running around trying to shoot people. Until that happens, it's okay to make something that's, you know, don't try to make a shooter if you have to put it on rails. Make something different.
Yeah.
How about The Witness? Like, perfect game that could be made in VR, you know?
No, I agree.
All right, Adam, we got not much time, so let's talk. I know you were excited about the Microsoft announcements today.
Yeah, we can skip mostly the big announcement. They had a press conference last week for like just press only. So pretty much everything's coming to Windows 10, which isn't that big of a surprise. I think after they announced like Quantum Break coming to Windows 10, I'm not one of the people that care. Like, if games go to Windows players or PC players, I like more people playing more games, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I couldn't care less. Yeah, I can't believe that there was like that much of an outrage where people were like, no, it's supposed to be an Xbox One exclusive. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? More people playing more games. I would like to see Sony put their exclusives on PC. Let people play Uncharted.
I don't understand it at all, because it's like, okay, so you mean they're going to put a bigger budget into the games because they get to sell more? How is that a bad thing?
Yeah, it's
you
not
know?
A bad thing.
I mean, unless they start making the Xbox One version shitty compared to the Windows 10 version. That's the only downside, potentially, but
I think
Xbox One's outselling it right now. So,
and Quantum Break was built on the Xbox One and ported to PC, so you don't have to worry. It's going to run best. Well, it's going to run great on the Xbox One. Everything runs like shit on PC, so...
everything.
Well, PC is like, I always think of PC like Android games like 5 years ago, where everybody had 10 different fucking phones and nothing ran well. Nobody has the same computer, so everything's gonna, it's never gonna work.
That's true
perfectly for
extent, but
everybody. You know, there's gonna be problems.
The games that are made for PC only though are, you know,
they all have like their standards and stuff, right?
Yeah. And people are always like the Forza 6 is going to be, that was one of the cool parts of the story. It's going to be 4K 60 frames a second on Windows 10. Obviously, you're going to need ridiculous hardware to do that, but the guy that watched it said it was fucking unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
And Gears of War Ultimate Edition is a 4K game as well. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, that is insane. I gave Gears of War a try. It wasn't my thing, but I got to see that mayhem in 4K. Lord, that's going to be fantastic.
It's an Xbox game, or Xbox 360 game. That game's got to be close to 10 years old.
Yeah, and I watched that video with Major Nelson, and one of the developers said that they pretty much rebuilt the game. It wasn't a port. They like redid it on the new hardware.
That just shows how much money Microsoft has to fucking
blow.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see if they can get Gears of War 4.
I would bet my life that Gears of War 4 will be Xbox One, Windows 10 game.
Oh yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Do you think they'll be able to get it 4K?
Oh yeah,
that'll be a much
more
dense
graphic. I think
they're
gonna.
Absolutely.
They're so invested in that direct. Like, I literally know nothing about DirectX 12 except for all the like conferences that they always talk about it. And they're so like bought into the idea of DirectX 12 being like the greatest thing ever. I imagine all the new games will be Windows 10 4K. As high as you can go.
The only reason I say that is because Forza 6, like, that's really cool and everything, but racing games are always amazingly graphically because there's just not as much to render. Whereas like a Gears of War game is a lot harder. And they say that that game, they say being Microsoft. So I guess it's take it with a grain of salt, but they say Gears of War 4 looks fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that they're going to be pushing a lot on the Xbox to PC cross platform, because I mean, once they get that like hammered down, Microsoft, I mean, they own both the, all your PC games are basically running on Windows PCs for the most part. And Xbox is owned by Microsoft. So by releasing the games that can do the cross-platform, they're just increasing their install base. Yeah. Just like instantly.
I can't believe it took them this long, because, you know, Apple's been making a dent in their hardware sales. And it's like you own this, the biggest gaming platform in the world, which is PC.
I think they fucked themselves hard with the whole Windows for Live thing. When they tried to charge people on that were playing PC games $50 a year to play online games where it was just free to play anyways. Fucking stupid. Yeah, I think they took a hard break after that and really rethought. Oh, but the last thing I would say about like that announcement is that there's going to be a Minecraft for Oculus Rift, which I think is huge. Like that is like, what would they call like when you release like a new system and a killer app, Minecraft on Oculus Rift is a killer app for Oculus Rift. That's huge. Like it doesn't say it can be used with the HTC Vive. It says Oculus Rift support for Minecraft.
And it makes so much sense too, because Minecraft is a relatively easy game to render. So they can easily do it in VR. Cause that's another hard part about VR is you're basically, for the good systems, you're having two 1080p screens render, you know, that's a lot of processing power. Minecraft, fucking easy.
Yeah. That's a
That was one of my first thoughts when I saw the VR Minecraft was like, well, of course you're going to do Minecraft first because two reasons. First, it's not exactly a complex game in general, both graphic wise and, you know, controls and operation. And second, I mean, how many million players are still playing Minecraft? And like, they just keep releasing more stuff for it.
Dude, it's crazy. Like there's guys at work that will have their kids in, they all play Minecraft, and some of them aren't even like gamers. Like it's just this, it's everywhere. And it makes me feel old because I feel like I've never even played Minecraft.
When my cousin was younger, he would play Minecraft on his 360. As soon as he got in the car, he had his Minecraft level booted up on his iPad. Good to go. He would never stop fucking playing that game. Weird. And I don't understand that game at all. Like, I don't like building shit, so
tough for me. Yeah, likewise over here. But I mean, you can't deny that it's everywhere. Yeah. It's a huge hit. Everyone loves
it. Ubiquitous. It's the biggest thing in gaming, probably.
Yeah, it really is. It's probably the biggest. I think it's got to be one of the best selling games of all time.
Gotta be. And I when I heard that they were that Microsoft was buying them for like $1 billion, I was like, what? Like, I know it's a big game, but really? And then because my other thought was, well, it's over. Like, it's been too long. Like, this game's not even cool anymore. Were they gonna release Minecraft 2? And then you like realize that everyone in the world is playing it, and you're like,
it's on every console, every platform you can imagine it's on.
That is true. It is on like all the big patch pretty much any gaming platform. There's a Minecraft for it.
First time I ever played Minecraft was on a cell phone.
There you go.
Well, that's more gameplay than I've got. So
I've seen it played in front of me, but I've never actually played
it. It was like 20 minutes. But all right. So next thing I want to talk about was last week I bashed the preview program when it wasn't preview program's fault. This month, preview program is fucking awesome. If you're not a part of it, you should try to get a part of it. Anthony, you should sign back up.
Okay.
And here's what's coming to Xbox One preview. Purchase Xbox 360 compatible games on your Xbox One, which is fucking huge. I don't understand you couldn't have done this day one. They've been on the store, but you can't buy them, which made no fucking sense for the last 4 or 5 months or whatever they announced the backwards compatibility game. So starting now, because I already have it listening to this, I can buy those Xbox One compatible games on my Xbox.
Yeah, I used to have to, because I still have my 360, so I'd have to like for the games with gold, I'd have to say, yes, I want to purchase or download this on my 360, then start up my Xbox One and say, yes, I want to download it again. Or if you go to your live account through your computer, you can say, yes, credit this game to my account.
Yeah, that's the way.
But it's still a two-step process.
That's the way I would do it. Just go on the Xbox website. And this next one, Anthony, this one's big for you because me and you had a conversation about how to include party chat in the Twitch broadcast.
Praise be to Jeebus.
Xbox One preview update is including party chat in Twitch broadcast, which is fucking awesome.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I don't understand why they didn't do this right off the fucking bat.
Like, for me, I it's great that we have the Elgato and stuff, and that's super useful for doing certain stuff. But, like this makes it, like, totally doable to just do a Twitch on your Xbox One and have it be, like, really good.
Yeah. And they go above and beyond, like, just a generic everybody's in the chat. It allows people that don't want to be a part of the chat to opt out of the chat but still be in the party chat, which is amazing. And it also gives you, if you have an asshole in your group, you can mute him from the Twitch stream but still have him in your party chat, which is amazing. like some of these features, like, I was going to bring this up. Like, I know people love, like, the basic, like, just let's play games on the PS4, but I love what Microsoft tries to do with these updates with the Xbox One. It makes me more excited to play my Xbox One every single time because, like, yeah, it's stuff that we think should have been there from day one, but now that it's here, it's fucking awesome. Like, the party chat and Twitch broadcast, that makes Twitching so much easier for so many people. It's great.
It's great.
I mean, go ahead, Andy.
I was just gonna say, here's my only concern, and this is also with another feature that is part of this update, is the party chat has been suspect since day one.
Yeah.
I just hope that, like, my only thing is, like, make the fucking party chat work before you do something crazy like this. So I'm hoping that they have that fixed to get this going. You know what I'm saying? That's my only concern, is I've had so many goddamn problems with the party chat on Xbox One.
Network code or whatever, fucking, it'll be open. It'll say, like, your internet is not good enough to have party chat right now.
Yeah, I've had so many problems.
Like, that makes no sense. Like, jeez, fuck you.
What were you going to say, Anthony?
In order to get my party chat active through a Twitch stream, because I've tried Twitching a few times, I actually had to stream my Xbox to my desktop PC running on Windows 10. And by doing that, all of the audio was just kind of, like, funneled into the same audio stream. And then people were able to hear me. So, like, I would have my Xbox on, like, in the basement. I'd go into my office where my desktop PC is, and then I'd be able to Twitch with using OBS, the open broadcast.
OBS is the worst.
Yeah. Well, it works. It works, but that was the workaround that I was able to use to have my party chat active in the Twitch stream. Yeah. And it's just like, oh my God.
I was using cords through the Elgato that would work 50% of the time. Last Saturday, when we streamed, I either got the chat audio or the game audio. There was no mixed. And, like, I know, like, what I'm doing because I recorded a whole, I don't know, 20 hours of a Halo session where I got both. And I don't know if it was the Astro A50s that just didn't want to connect to the Elgato or what it was, but it would not work past Saturday. So I had to pick the game audio. You can't stream for 4 hours and not have any kind of game audio.
Right.
Yeah. That is obnoxious though. It's like when you're playing Rocket League, whatever, it's not that big of a deal to hear your teammates, although it's still really entertaining. Like, you want to hear people cursing and celebrating. Right. But when you're playing a game like Halo multiplayer co-op or any sort of co-op.
Yeah, I was playing Dying Light. Like, I'm not gonna like
to hear I'm the not gonna person though too, you know? So it's
Actually, I was trying to do, I did a stream with Borderlands, the pre-sequel. Like, me just laughing randomly at silence over the stream is just stupid.
But at the same time, if you are playing Halo 5 co-op, you want to hear your teammates saying, go over here, do this.
Right.
I'm not sure if they said when the regular Xbox One people get the update, but they're calling it the March update, so I'm assuming sometime in March. So that's sweet. You guys will be able to broadcast. You'll be able to have your party in your broadcast, which is huge, because that makes your a Twitch stream so much better to watch.
Oh, by far.
We'll skip the one because I don't give a shit about that. Customizable game DVR length, which I thought was weird. You could do 5 minutes of an Xbox record that, which is...
Wow.
That's really weird. I don't know if anybody wants to do that.
There are times that I would like to, like... So I had a game of Rocket League where I was down 3 with, like, 40 seconds left and came back to win. And I want to record the whole thing. But I was like, how would I do... I was trying to think of how I would do that. That would be the 5 minute
thing.
Yeah, that would be the 5 minute thing. And then it didn't exist. So I just gave up.
Well, now it does. track achievements is cool if you're an achievement hunter. You can bring up your one guide, not or the sidebar. What's the left sidebar called? Is it the one guide?
I think it's called the one. I think is the TV guide.
I think they might call it the same. I think they might call them both one guides.
They just shifted it. All right, yeah. Everything's the one guide.
You have to snap achievements to look at like what you've done, and it like real time tracks them. But now you can track a single achievement or maybe a group of achievements, and all you do is go to your one guide and it shows you how your progression is going, which is cool if you're an achievement guy, which I've actually gotten more into achievements as I've gotten older. Another thing is this. When was the last update? Was it November, the big one?
I have no idea.
All right.
I can't remember.
But they upped it to 12-person party chat. Now it's 16-person party chat, and it also connects you with people on Windows 10, which is kind of cool. So
that was the one that I was laughing at, though. I'm like, 16 person party chat, my balls.
I mean, who plays? I don't know 16 people that play the same game. I'll have 36 people online at once, but six of them maybe are playing the same game.
You know, that would be insanity. That would be insanity if
you imagine having that in a Twitch stream, having 16 people trying to talk in the same Twitch stream.
Well, I was going
to
say, if you were playing, Fibbage and they had a way to just do it all on the Xbox and you had those people at a party, that it would be the most offensive fucking the racism on that game is just unreal.
Oh man, I can't even imagine just doing like having so many people talk at the same time during a Destiny raid, and that's only six people. Just gets chaotic.
Yeah.
I can't imagine having 16 people going at the same time playing the same game.
There's three of us on a podcast and it's hard not to talk over each other. 16 is insane. It's cool. I mean, it's great. I thought it was funnier just because I just don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to work. Are you fucking kidding me?
No chance.
Yeah. Like you can't get four people in without somebody having a net code problem that says their mic doesn't connect.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's it. I mean, there's some other like little minor changes, reputation is going away if you have a good standing, which is cool. I'm tired of like being in the Xbox Underground and having a good reputation. So if you are marked as good, you're set. You're set for life. You can't go back. You can't go back. You can't go forward. You're free. So it's only marking the bad people, which is cool. Somebody was telling me today that that has already been taking effect because they didn't have a rating anymore. So if you have a rating still, either not in the program or you're not a good person.
Probably a bad person.
Yeah, probably a bad person. All right. So we still have a lot more.
Yeah, I think the most exciting.
I was going to say.
I'm with you. I think we should probably call it. I was just going to say, I think the most exciting part of that about that is obviously the Twitch party chat, just because it's a complex problem to solve outside of the system, and to have it in the system is great. But I was going to say, let's get out of here, but Give me a one sentence review of how excited or not excited you are for Dark Souls 3. Go.
I played about 14 hours of Dark Souls 2. I could not give a shit less about Dark Souls 3.
Ready, Anthony?
I do not care at all. I tried playing Dark Souls when it was free on Xbox Games with Gold, and I got to the first actual skeleton enemy and died for the next 2 hours. I'm like, all right, I'm done with this.
I really tried to enjoy it, and there were parts I did enjoy, but when you randomly come across like a fourth world boss and you die and lose everything, Fuck that game.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I just don't. I think it's. I think they're great games, and I think that
they
if
have
I was a
some
kid
great
again,
moments.
I would really enjoy them, but yeah. I think that I just don't have the patience, or I don't want to be frustrated like that.
Give me some structure. All I ask is for a little bit of structure. I don't care about difficulty. Just give me a little structure.
Yeah. I respectfully decline to play the game.
I think they're awesome. I'm so glad that they exist. I think it's so cool that they're doing something like that, which is like, hey, here's a world. Go do whatever you want, and you have no fucking clue what's going on. I just don't want to play it.
People out there love that game, and what was it, Bloodborne? If you guys love that game, game on, rock out.
It looks amazing.
I'll see you elsewhere.
I still want to play Bloodborne because watching Annie play Bloodborne looked fun.
Bloodborne's definitely more structured than the other Dark Souls games. You would definitely like it better. All right. Well, that's a good podcast.
Anthony does a lot of stuff. Let him pimp his.
Yes. I was just gonna say pimp your stuff.
All right. So you can catch me mostly on Twitter. My handle is HyperSyntax. So it's HYP3RSINT4X. That's HyperSyntax. I'm on Twitter, Xbox Live, Twitch. And I am a contributing blogger to Sports Rants in their gaming section, and I've also recently started contributing over at Game Skinny. So everything's under HyperSyntax. Xbox Live, Twitter, Twitch, Sports Rants, and Game Skinny.
Make sure you tweet some of this stuff out so that we can retweet it and get it all out.
Not gonna lie, I always thought your name was Hyper Saint.
So many people say Saint. I'm like, I don't know how Saint comes across, but it's Syntax.
It looks like Saint.
Well, that's what I get for trying to geek it out with the lead speak and whatnot. So that's so be it.
His name is Hyper Taint, if anybody needs to find it.
Hyper Taint, reach out and anyway.
I think that's a perfect note to leave on. Anthony, thanks for dropping by.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. This is number one champion sound. Yeah, Estelle, we about to get down. Who the hottest in the world right now? Just touched down in London town. Bet they give me a pound. Tell them put the money in my hand right now. Set a promoter, we need more seats. We just sold out all the floor seats. Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday. Take me to New York, I'd love to see LA.
This 5'7" guy who's just my type. Like the way he's speaking, his confidence is peaking. Don't like his baggy jeans, but I'ma like what's underneath it. And no, I ain't been to MIA. I heard the Cali never rains, and New York's wide awake. First, let's see the West End. I'll show you to my bedroom. I'm liking this American boy, American boy. Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday. Maybe then we'll go to a cafe. Let's go on the subway. Take me to your hood. I've never been to Brooklyn and I'd like to see what's good. Dressed in all your fancy clothes. Sneakers looking fresh to death. I'm loving no show toes. Walking that walk. Talk that slick talk. I'm liking this American boy. American boy. Take me on a trip. I'd like to go someday.
Killing them in the UK. Everybody gonna say UK. Reluctantly, cause most of this press don't f*** with me. Estelle once said, tell me cool down, down. Don't act a fool now, now. Always act a fool, ow, ow. Ain't nothing new now, now. He crazy, I know what you're thinking. Rapina, I know what you're drinking. Rap singer, chain blinger. Holla at the next chick soon as you're blinking. What's your persona about this Americana? Rhymer, am I shallow? Cause all my clothes designer. Dress smart like a London bloke. Before he speak, his suit be spoke.
And you thought he was cute before. Look at this peacoat, tell me he's broke. And I know you ain't into all that. I heard your lyrics, I feel your spirit, but I still talk that cash, cause a lot of wags wanna hear it. And I'm feeling like Mike at his baddest, like the pips at the gladdest. And I know they love it, so the hell with all that rubbish.
Would you be mine?